Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Simply Film podcast, Rampant Cinephilia.
Yep, that's the name. Wait. Definitely Rampant Cinephilia.
Is it Cinemania?
Yes!
Cinemania. Jeez. The podcast where we don't know the name.
Welcome to Rampant Cinemania. My name is Andrew King, and I'm your host. With me is Gabe Vogel.
Hello, internets.
Albert Cantu.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe Hawley.
I'm also here.
Fantastic. Today we're going to be reviewing Star Trek Into Darkness, which changed
a Star Trek Into Darkness. Into Darkness.
thank goodness.
We're going to take a trek into our review of Star Trek Into Darkness.
With darkness.
So many treks.
But before we
darkness.
But before we do,
it'll be really exciting, guys. Let's go.
But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about what we've been watching. Gabe, what have you seen this week?
I haven't seen much, but I did see this romantic comedy called Crazy Stupid Love. It's
tell us about it.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know if I agree with the kind of sentiment it's pushing. It's just like a sort of like a romantic comedy with a bunch of different like relationships that sort of combines at the end. One of those kind of movies.
Culminates, if you will.
Combines also works, you pretentious douche.
What kind of sentiment does it push that you don't agree with?
It's all about, like, the whole ending scene is like this giant cheesy speech about you have to find your soulmate, your one true love, and if it's not them, or you have to keep pushing no matter what, even if they're not interested, which is sort of creepy, and then, like, you'll be together forever and you'll be happy. In that, unless you're with that one person, you will never be happy. There's, like, you can't be in love with another person after you've been in love with someone before, which
yes,
is just, like,
to trick them into loving you.
Yeah, it's, like, really childish and a little creepy, and I don't completely agree with the sentiment, but I do enjoy the performances. It's a lot of fun.
I think it's really well written.
Yeah, it's well written, except for the
well, I mean, except
the
for
the movie.
Yeah,
and Ryan Gosling, who is actually pretty great, pretty different than his normal performances.
Yeah, he's kind of a douche.
Yeah,
this
he plays
one.
Like a suave womanizer in this.
Yeah, and, so different from how regular people think of Ryan Gosling.
Well, he's not. Yeah, but enjoyable. Not the best romantic comedy I've ever seen. No Annie Hall, but pretty good.
All right, Albert, have you seen anything this week?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's anticlimactic. Joe!
I saw a little film called Wrong.
We all saw that.
Yeah, we all
saw one-third of this movie.
It was the worst third of a movie I've seen in a good long while. What's the name of that director?
Quentin
Depew.
Absurdity.
Quentin Depew is the director, and it was a pretty annoyingly bad, obnoxious. He's the for those of you who have seen Rubber, which is on Netflix, and
which a lot
of
people like.
Least, I really hated it because I think he's really desperate to portray himself as this absurdist, interesting avant-garde guy, but he's not. He's just making movies about really boring characters that aren't interesting.
Would you say he's just wrong?
Yes, that's the perfect description.
Oh, wow.
Just wrong. Sorry, yeah. Depew, but
I'm
going to have to pass on
metaphorical masturbation.
I'd have to say...
on.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I'd have to say that there's a lot right in this movie. As I thought it was quite funny. A lot of
really
spot on no, absurdist humor.
It wasn't absurdist. It was like surreal.
It was just
there's
thinking
there's
he's absurdist, but really being
between
boring.
Philosophical absurdism and philosophical surrealism.
That was me punching Albert in the face three times.
You're getting edited out.
I mean, it was completely absurd. I mean, surrealism is like outside
of
reality, right?
Surrealism is close cousin to nihilism. And there was
no nihilism or existentialist or solipsism.
Well,
or
okay. Anyway,
you're so wrong. You're so wrong.
I'm not wrong. I completely failed to see how that had anything to do with existence.
If any of you,
to be fair, we have not finished this movie.
I'll give it points because it had the guy in Reno 911 who played the creepy prostitute.
Yeah,
who I really enjoyed.
He was good. I thought he was good. I thought it was pretty funny, worth checking out. It's a little boring. It's
very meandering.
But very meandering, definitely. But I think it's worth seeing. It's very interesting, very strange, and pretty funny at times.
Okay, well, agree to disagree on that one. As far as things I saw this week, I didn't really see anything particularly interesting because I chose to see Star Trek twice. as did Albert. We're not really sure why we did that. Yeah, we'll go into that into our review, which I think actually is going to be right now. We're going to have a pretty short what we've been watching segment.
Fine by me.
Okay, so we're now going to move into our review of Star Trek Into Darkness by J.J. Abrams, written in part by Damon Lindelof.
You think you can't make mistakes? But the choices you make could get yourself and everyone under your command killed. But I believe in you, Jim. Darkness is coming.
So, what did you guys think of this movie?
I thought it was pretty good. It had a lot of complications with its plotting, as a lot of stuff just didn't make much sense. Maybe more than a few, but it was a gorgeous-looking movie, especially at the beginning. I thought the characters were pretty fun. Some of them could use
a dimension or two.
Yeah. Well, no. I guess. It's not really the type of movie with, like, very deep characters, I would say.
That doesn't excuse it for having shallow characters. I mean, you can still give them a personality beyond.
Certainly,
a
but I mean, for an action movie, I feel like.
He's like a Russian guy, that's what he is.
They're not especially.
Can't pronounce V, and
that's I mean, they're not especially shallow characters, especially for an action movie.
I mean, the girls certainly were.
The girls were the epitome of just everything that's wrong
but
with
I mean,
the
movie was
in movies.
Certainly, but the movie wasn't about them. It was about Kirk, it was about Spock, it was about all the other crew members.
Benedict Cumberbatch,
the best name ever. And I think they pulled off those characters quite well. It was a lot of fun to hear them banter.
Okay, great.
Great presentation to everything.
Joe, what did you think of this movie?
Oh, very definitely would not recommend it, unfortunately. Fell flat on pretty much every front. The characters were extremely one-dimensional. All the plot had just some massive holes. When we get to spoilers, we're going to have a discussion about some of the awful plot holes. And, like, I get that science fiction, like, you can suspend disbelief and make up your own rules, but there's a difference between doing that and just lazy plot writing. And just not even making a real effort to...
It's not even as much plot holes as it is just, like, basic issues in plotting the movie.
Yes. So, I didn't really think I like Zachary Quinto as Spock, and I think Chris Pine has done a pretty good job with the Kirk character. But it's not... No character is really interesting or unique, apart from what everybody already knew them as from the original Star Trek series. So
it's not bringing anything new to the table.
Yeah, it really doesn't bring anything new to the table. I thought the female characters were obnoxious, incredibly boring.
Especially, I took particular issue with Uhura, who was like the main female character in that movie, and was
all she talked about
was relationships. It's like, come on,
she wasn't much of a
show an original female character in a movie, please.
They weren't even original like conversations. They were just like, is something wrong? Like, it was like really tropey fighting stuff.
Right, every female character has to be just a frigid bitch the entire movie,
like, or just a sex object.
Those are the words of Joe Hawley. not simplyfilm.org.
No, there's a scene in that movie where just one of the attractive female characters who doesn't bring a whole lot to the table
adds absolutely nothing
there in order to just be like a hot pair of boobs.
Yes,
literally all she does is takes her clothes off and nothing else happens.
It's awful.
Pretty much
the worst.
Albert, what did you think? You and I both saw it twice.
It twice due to a kind of an unforeseeable circumstance, but I really enjoyed it even less the second time, if that's possible. I thought that my main problem with it was that everything, like the character relations and character development in this film, was done better in the first Star Trek in 2009. Like, in my opinion, this film didn't need to exist at all because everything established in this film was done just... It was basically a rehashing of what they did in 2009.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. So, as I mentioned, I also saw this movie twice. And I think the reason I didn't like it as much the second time is this movie has what I'm going to call the Avatar problem. Which is where the first time I saw it, you know, I was kind of just blown away by the spectacle of it. But then, like, when I'm sitting down and actually evaluating the movie, it does not hold up very well. Like Joe said, it has a lot of plot issues. And more than that, it's just got a lot of issues of not explaining things very well, of having either kind of awkward chunks of exposition or just explaining things because, like, oh, this works because science, and we don't actually have to tell anyone.
I literally said science multiple times throughout this movie.
You said you thought the movie was, like, really visually stunning, and I mean, it's a good-looking movie, but I don't know that, like, having good-looking CGI really makes a movie, like, unbelievably stunning now. I mean...
I thought just the art design and the way it was shot was good looking as well.
Can I finish my point? What I'm saying is that when you're relatively speaking, I mean, in the same way that a good painting might look good, it might be good looking painting, but I wouldn't call any painting stunning just because it fits with the technology. I mean, the standards nowadays.
I think this is a bad analogy.
The standards nowadays are, they don't really make, it doesn't stand apart from any other movie, really.
No,
it didn't
do anything
visually that was like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that.
Well, yeah, for me...
It didn't blow my mind, but I thought it looked quite nice. I mean, especially in the opening scene with the forest that was completely red, it looked great. I mean, really interesting looking.
I've seen that red forest a million times.
Really? Where?
In Wreck-It Ralph, for example, they did the whole candy cane forest. It looked exactly the same.
Okay, so for me, when I was talking about the spectacle of this movie, I wasn't so much talking about the visuals as much as, you know, a Star Trek movie. Like, Star Trek is one of those franchises, much like Star Wars, where you just kind of get excited when a new one comes out. And that's how I felt about the original trilogy before George Lucas smashed my dreams into the ground. But, you know, I was just kind of very excited and you know, taken by, like, oh, I recognize these characters and things like that. But, you know, when you examine it more as, like, a film rather than, like, an extension of things that you like, I just don't think it's that great a movie, to be honest. And I think that much of that will come kind of when we're talking about spoilers, because there's a lot of things to spoil in this movie, because it really picks up the plot rather quickly. Like, I'll say that it doesn't really have pacing issues.
That's true. Yeah, it moved pretty much directly into the plot.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I just thought it was a great, had a lot of great action. It looks really nice. I mean, the beginning of the film, especially, like all the stuff on that one planet they were at the beginning, looked fantastic, and I thought the forest was quite original and nice looking, personally. But I don't know. I think the flaws that exist in this film are not large enough to really detract too much from it overall, and I think it's definitely worth seeing.
Okay, well, kind of to examine this more, I think we'll have to move into spoilers. So, spoilers for Star Trek Into Darkness. Okay, so Joe, real quick, why don't you just talk about your biggest issue with this movie?
My biggest issue with this movie was super blood. Super blood, really, really, the solution, you can save Kirk's life because of the super blood. First of all, anytime, all of the people that Khan had frozen, you didn't need Khan. You could have gotten any of them and just gotten some of their blood.
Yeah, there was this
whole... Why did you let Khan live? There was no reason to let him live.
There was this whole to-do at the end of the movie about needing Khan's blood because it was somehow, you know, superior, as they said, super blood, which was actually a line from the movie.
Direct quote.
They needed to capture him, you know, instead of killing him because they needed to give his blood to Spock to save his life. Meanwhile, in those torpedoes, Meanwhile, in these torpedoes, there's like 60 other people who have presumably the exact same blood, because they talk about them all being the same as Khan. So I don't really understand the point of that. And There's also just a lot of other dumb things about this movie. There's this huge chunk of exposition. When they explained that Benedict Cumberbatch was Khan and sort of set up this what seemed to be almost an interesting conflict of like, oh, is he telling the truth or is the Admiral telling the truth? And immediately after, he just warps in and is like, I'm the Admiral. I'm the bad guy.
That's true. But I mean, even taking away this is really confusion over whether he was telling the truth or not, I think there was still an interesting story being told. And to be fair, Superblood is much better than Unobtainium.
And that's very true.
There's certainly a lot of problems with the plot and just plot holes in general. But I mean, I think the story overall is quite compelling. I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Khan is a good villain. Certainly, I think the whole idea of having alternate universe Spock just tell the normal Spock the answer on how to defeat Khan.
That was the worst line in the movie. It
really
was like
terrible
story. I promise never to tell you anything except I'm going to break my rule and just explain everything.
Yeah. So that's just problematic in a lot of ways, but they're relatively very small things, I think, and the overall story is very compelling, and it's very interesting.
Albert, do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, my whole problem was with Khan as a character, because he comes in like two parts, I guess. It's his crew, who supposedly are frozen for 300 years, and we're just supposed to accept the fact that they came out of nowhere and now exist in this universe, and we're supposed to go with that unquestioningly without asking why were they made, where did they come from, who put them in storage, etc., etc. And the second part is that I don't think Khan is like, he's more like just basically fan service in the worst sense, because he's basically whatever J.J. Abrams wants him to be. Like, he's like, in one part, he's a tragic hero because he, like, escaped the general who was trying to imprison him. And in one part, he's a psychopath who wants to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And in one part, he's, like, the courageous captain of his crew members. And, like, he's very ambiguous. He's just no real, like, characterization that goes on. And I just really didn't think he was a very good villain overall.
Yeah, it is a bit jarring when basically the only reason... They basically, Khan is like the villain at the beginning, and then they sort of team up together. And then you're like, okay, this guy, he sort of got played, he's a bit sympathetic, I get why he's like going after these guys. And then, like, all of a sudden, Spock tells us, oh yeah, and by the way, he started in the alternate universe, he's basically Hitler and started a bunch of genocides. Oh, so that's why he's a bad guy. And that's the only real reason we to, like, hate him.
Yeah, Khan was, like, an ally until old Spock was like, oh, he's the single greatest evil of all time.
In this universe, the main characters essentially betray him, and then he's just retaliating, maybe in a bit.
I mean, they do they shoot him in the head.
Yeah, like, they shoot him in the head for no reason when they're aligned. Which is, like, only because alternate universe Spock said... Oh, don't trust that guy. He's a bad guy. And it's like, you're supposed to show us why we're supposed to not like him. I mean, come on. He's the villain in this movie, not in the past movies.
Yeah, to me, the whole alternate universe thing screwed the series up from the very beginning, because I really got confused as to, like, what kind of time frame we were working with, and in, like, which reality the characters were good, and, like, did we go back to, like, the start of the fracture of the realities, or, like, did we go back in time, or what exactly?
Yeah, like, could Khan have been a good guy?
It's just a complete mess in terms of the timeline.
Exactly, and, I mean, they want you to ask those kind of questions, I think, but really what it was is just a cheap tactic to get Leonard Nimoy into the movie, I found that completely obnoxious.
Yeah, there was kind of a lot of fan service, even when Benedict Cumberbatch turns to the camera and goes, my name... is Khan. Yeah. It was kind of like an audible gasp in the theater the first time I saw it.
I mean, like, to me, I didn't watch Star Trek when I was younger. Like, I wasn't a fan. Like, Khan really doesn't mean anything to me besides, like, a whispered, you know, pop culture reference. Like, I don't know what he did in terms of the Star Trek universe. So without giving, like, any context into what the history of the world was, he's just this guy who, like,
is relatively strong compared to everyone else, and like he's supposed to be.
He's got
like,
super blood.
Yeah, he's got super blood, and apparently a long time ago he was Mecha Hitler. So, and we have to take Spock's future Spock's word for it. So, and that's my real issue with the character.
Yeah, I don't know. There was not any like character growth in this movie at all. And there,
no,
like
especially with Kirk. I think there's a.
You think there's some
an arc
growth
going on there? Yeah, completely.
I don't think
like he becomes jaded and sort of cynical, and then he sort of grows out of it as the movie goes, as the climax comes.
But then it sort of puts him back
and
in a position where it's like
for the crew and everything.
Yeah, but then he becomes his exact old self again.
Yeah, it puts him back in this position
really
where they're like, oh, you're back in the cap.
It doesn't seem like he's learned
an arc.
Anything.
It starts.
It's more like a character
it is an arc. That doesn't mean it's back. Interesting. I agree
that
it's an arc.
Itself into a circle.
It's a character
but,
circle.
Yeah. So I don't know why. They felt that was
there's movement at least.
There's yeah. definitely. I would say that there's really not new with Spock's character. Where Spock's character, I thought
it seems like every movie the conflict with Spock is going to be oh he feels an emotion all of a sudden
yeah,
but then
yeah.
he, and then at the end he doesn't feel emotions anymore so what does
no,
it matter?
No. Definitely at the end he feels emotions. What are you talking about?
Well, like I said, it was they rehashed just what they established in the first movie. He had the same character arc in the first one, and he just goes through it again in this.
That's
one.
True.
I mean, I thought for such a main character, he was exceptionally flat. Just like
yeah,
I mean, and
I'm not sure if that's indicative of his
character.
But
yeah, no, at this point he's nothing. He's really not anything more than catchphrases. You know, it was more like, "Oh, that seems extremely illogical." like I understand that's his thing, but
yeah,
it was.
There was fun part at the beginning that you made fun of.
The first line out of his mouth.
Well, that doesn't seem illogical.
Uhura's like, "Hey, you know, do you want me to put the suit on and go down into the volcano?" You know, clearly she's not serious. He's already suited up, and he's like. Well, that seems highly illogical, as I'm already wearing the suit. And just the look on her face was the same one I had, which was like, oh my god.
It's a joke. Yeah.
It was a rough start. Yeah. Well, not... I mean, that being said, I like the whole opening sequence. The very opening shot of the movie.
Yeah,
I really love.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I like
it starts
first,
off,
the
like,
first action sequence.
Really, like, going, like... Or in a chase scene right at the beginning.
And then
really nice
they proceed. Andrew counted no less than 5 countdowns throughout the course of the film.
This movie does have a bad case of countdowns.
It appears to be counting down just about every event in the movie.
Countdown to an explosion in a volcano. Countdown to when a missile. Countdown to when their weapon systems are back online.
Lots of countdowns.
The list goes on.
Yeah.
I just like
it's so tense, man.
It's a really cheap way of adding tension.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not something.
There seem to be a lot of cheap things, like with the blonde girl who is clearly just there to be eye
okay,
candy.
Okay, another thing I just wanted to say: why does she have a British accent when her father is clearly not British?
You're not supposed to notice that.
I don't know whether her mom is British or she went to school in England. It's just bizarre.
It's a little
we don't know because there is an absolutely
yeah,
zero
like
characterization
no
for
her.
It's highly illogical.
Yeah, her character, when they introduced her, she walked in and she's like, oh, here's my transcript. And they're like, did anyone else want a science officer? And everyone's like, no, I don't.
Professionalism.
No, it was basically like they ordered a stripper and she was handing him like the receipt for the purchase. And they're like, all right, come on in.
No, it's like, we have no idea where you came from.
We're
and
totally,
Kirk's like, ah, she's
we're
hot.
We're going on a secret undercover mission to an enemy planets. Yeah, you can come on. You're hot.
No, I thought it was going to be like a really like, oh wow, she's clearly a spy. But they didn't even have the decency to do that.
I thought that she was going to end up being some kind of something to do with the plot other than just being whiny and annoying the whole movie. That was her role, was being whiny and annoying.
Speaking of characters that I didn't like, the character of Bones, who's the medical
doctor. I like Bones. This is my favorite character.
I thought
this is his character in one line. God damn it, I'm a doctor.
I'm for some of the line where Sulu is in control of the ship and he's talking about, you know, like, oh, we have all these missiles pointed at you, and he just kind of turns and growls to him, remind me to never piss you off. I groan.
That's
it's
just like
very cutesy.
Like, oh.
Yeah,
it's very cute.
Most of his lines were like that.
But I thought it was a lot of fun, like especially when he made fun of the fact that his character is basically I'm a doctor, goddammit, which is like. I'm a doctor, not a rocket scientist, is like
I mean, for a large part, I thought he was, like, the only sane person on the show. I was just like, what are you people doing? Like, to Kirk, he was just like, are you literally insane right now? And that's, I think I related to him more than anyone else. In
the movie. Not even Scotty?
To be fair,
not
even Scotty. Scotty gets off the ship.
That's true. Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. It was always good to see Simon Pegg in something.
Yeah. I love that man.
Although I'd rather see him in an Edgar Wright movie.
True. One at the end of summer. Don't
worry. Coming up. We'll definitely have a review of that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That looks good.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk about was not so much something having to do with this movie, but I know that, well, at least for myself, as well as I'm assuming you guys, I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan. And and after seeing this movie, how do you guys feel about the impending J.J. Abrams movie?
Personally, I wasn't that excited about the prospect of a J.J. Abrams Star Wars before, because, I don't know, I like J.J. Abrams. He makes nice action movies, but they never like, excel. They're never, like, super
to me, all
intriguing
of his,
or interesting.
All of his stuff is, like, really middle of the road in terms of quality, and that's why I'm really not excited about a new Star Wars, because he did what? He did Super 8.
I liked Super 8.
Super 8 was good for the first half. When they focused on the kids making the movie, and I was like, okay, this is kind of neat, I can get into this. But then they did, like, the Alien, and then just declined in quality drastically. He made Mission Impossible 3.
I like that. I thought that was pretty good.
Another forgettable one.
I thought that one was very forgettable.
Very forgettable.
I quite enjoyed that.
He did Star Trek, the first one, which we already talked about a little, and then this one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if history is anything to go on, it looks like another really mediocre movie in the works.
I don't know if I'd call J.J. Abrams mediocre or middling, even. I think he makes great movies, but he just makes great normal movies. He doesn't make anything that, like,
nothing
is
revolutionary.
Unique or revolutionary. Some, like, I sort of want something like that. If we're going to have a new Star Wars movie after all these years, I want something crazy. I want something really interesting.
Yeah, when they were throwing around names of directors to do it, you know, I mean, the ones that kind of excited me were, like, Rian Johnson or something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. They would do something crazy and different and really interesting.
Or when people were saying the ones that they hoped would direct it, like Guillermo del Toro or Darren Aronofsky.
That would be
which
amazing.
Would be a ridiculous Star Wars movie. But still, So the feeling I kind of had was that having J.J. Abrams do this sort of, you know, took away the possibility of it being great. But I thought it would be, you know, a really good movie. But after seeing Star Trek now twice, I'm not even sure it'll be a great movie or it'll be a good movie. You know, I thought this movie was decent. I thought it was like an okay summer blockbuster. I didn't really love it. I think the critical ratings for this have been, you know, pretty generous.
I think what'll happen is it'll end up being exactly what we expect it's going to be, and I don't know whether I like that or not. You know, I don't think it'll be anything that I'm like, wow, I can't believe they did that. You know,
I think it'll definitely be good. I mean, I think most of the problems we have with J.J. Abrams movies, like this most recent one, come from problems in the writing, you know?
Like Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, and
who J.J. Abrams has partnered himself with for some reason that's completely unknown to me.
I don't get the complete hatred of him, but...
I think Damon Lindelof does great writing. I think he writes half a great movie and then doesn't explain it.
But, I mean, they've got a pretty good writer, Academy Award winning. He wrote Little Miss Sunshine, I think Toy Story 3. Those are great movies. I think he's clearly has writing chops. So, and I mean, J.J. Abrams, say what you will about him, but I've never really had a problem with him when it came to execution.
That's true.
He knows how to direct really proficiently, and he does a great job when it comes to that. But he still doesn't blow me away ever. But, you know, I think he'll do a great job, you know. He'll fulfill all of the things that we wanted out of it, you know. Like, out of a stock Star Wars movie.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah, Gabe brings up a good point, and I guess the real problem with all the movies that I mentioned was the writing and not necessarily directing. I mean, at the same time, he's like no Paul Thomas Anderson or anything, but I guess it's...
I'd love a Paul Thomas Anderson Star Wars.
That would blow my mind. Oh, wow.
Yeah, in terms of direction, I mean, he's never really like infuriated me or anything. He's always been serviceable.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything I've seen of his that I've really hated. So, I mean, and that's something I can't say of really that many directors. I think that's about it, though. That's all we have to talk about. So, it's a pretty short episode, but, you know, we didn't really see much this week other than this. We'll definitely be back next week reviewing either The Hangover 3 or Fast and the Furious 6, or I believe it's 6, 6 or 7, or...
I got a tank, oh my ass.
There are tanks on asses. So,
say what you will.
My vote's for that movie.
Say what you will, but I'm excited.
But yeah.
Follow
us on Twitter. Go visit our website at simplyfilm.org.
Yeah, our Twitter is simply_film.
Yeah.
You can always send us emails at simplyfilmreviews@gmail.com. And...
Look for a competing review of Great Gatsby from last week.
Yeah, we'll
Gabe and I will.
We'll go at each other's throats.
Yes, some veritable battling.
Oh, yes.
Verbal jousting.
Oh, you know it. Some shots of the bow.
Quite
definitely.
The raconteur.
Indeed. So check us out.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up for the week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we hope to have you here next week.